This is The Mungle Show.
Welcome to this week's show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you as always. Check us out on the World Wide Web, mungleshow.com. You can see Brian at boomstickcomics.com, highdefdigest.com, plus so many other places on the deep, deep, dark web.
I was just about, we're going there already. I like it.
I figure if I beat you to the punch, it's not so dramatic.
What can we find on the dark web besides me?
You know what? This is so off topic. We are going to talk about movies and stuff, but we never know. It's like a derailment every time the show starts. But to be honest, we should do a show about the dark web because everybody talks about it. I have no idea how to get there. I just don't know if Google Chrome has access to the dark web. I don't know. Everybody talks about, ooh, this is on the dark web. But, I mean, I don't even know how to get there. Do you know how to get there?
Yes.
What? I probably got your picture up there somewhere.
I hope you Google how to access the dark web.
Dear Siri, how do I access the dark web?
Oh, my goodness.
It's so science fiction-y.
It's great. I highly recommend all of you going there. There's some good stuff.
Matt Mungle does not recommend you going there.
You having a good week, man?
I am. It's been, it's the end of summer. I feel like movies are kind of lagging now. And then, you know, we're getting ready for back to school. And it's just, you know, a new season. So it's good. It's been a good week, man. What about you? You've been seeing a lot of fun stuff?
Yeah, mostly stuff on home video and stuff like that. The movies in the theater haven't really, you know, caught me, you know, like a fish out of water.
Nothing's hooked you yet.
Last week or so, which I guess we can talk about box office wise. It's no surprise that one of the last big summer movies was number one this week. But when we say number one, it really nobody went to the movies this week. Because in summer, usually number one at the box office in the summer is like $50, $60 million. But how much did Dark Tower, which came in at number one, make?
Ladies and gentlemen, $19.2 million.
Nobody went to the theater this weekend.
Which 19.2 in June is like your 11th at the box office, you know?
Yeah. That's just crazy.
Yeah, so Dark Tower's like, yo, way to celebrate mediocrity. Woo!
I just think nobody cared. It was just unbelievably just ridiculous,
yeah.
You know?
So the fact that, you know, Dunkirk is dropped to number two already with $17 million this week, 133 overall. The Emoji Movie, which I didn't expect to do well, it's, you know, it's lagging at $12 million. It's number three. You know, when you look at the top five and you've got Emoji Movie, Girls Trip, and Kidnap in the top five of the box office, you know there's just some weirdness going on.
And it's great that Halle Berry cannot carry a movie. Finally, somebody knows. Or maybe not. I don't know if she's still headlining movies, but
nobody still knows. But I wonder if she texted Charlize Theron and said, hey, my movie beat your movie this week at the box office.
Yeah, seriously, $10 million only. And Girls Trip, which is a rated R raunchy movie, is like has almost $90 million.
Yeah. Which again, $90 million is, well, I guess that's not bad because Atomic Blonde only has $34 million. Detroit has $7 million, which Detroit, I just think they should have released that more in the later fall. I think it would have done better. And then, you know, Wonder Woman we talked about's dropped off the list. Despicable Me's hanging on, but with
Wonder Woman, it's made what, $400 million or more?
Yeah, it's made over, well, it's made close to $400 million. But then Spider-Man's at $300 million in half the time, so and it's still at number six, so I think it's going to be hanging out there a while.
All right.
But, you know, but we could just see everything just start toppling off one after another if we're not careful. But
and nobody went to see Detroit again?
Nope. Again, nobody went to see Detroit. Well, we still got a lot of movie stuff to talk about this week. Going to break down some Annabelle creation and other things in the theater, plus Blu-ray news, wrestling news, theater news, all this good stuff for you right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show.
Welcome back, Brian Kluger, Matt Mungle.
Oh, I need to put you in charge of my PR.
Okay, cool. I just have to get the Mungle name right here and there because I get confused. Yeah. I don't know. But we're talking about movies. We're talking about box office. And this week, I do think there's going to be one movie that's going to make a ton, ton of money, over $100 million. Not first week, weekend, but maybe in 2 weekends, it's going to make over $100 million.
Let me guess. Let me guess which one you think it is.
Okay, okay.
Nut Job 2.
Yes, because it has the word nut in it. Because the Nut Job Part 2 could be taken several ways, right?
I know that. Because, you know, people show up in, like, trench coats and go, this isn't the movie I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, this is what is this? Where's all the, oh, it's anime. Okay.
Well, I mean, look at the title, Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. That's
which
just
is
screaming
horrible.
To be a porn parody. It's just screaming to be a porn parody.
It is. And then they took an awesome rap hip hop group and changed it to a family thing, Nutty by Nature. You don't know, baby. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, if I was in Nutty by Nature, I'd be like, really? This is what we've come to? This is what we are now?
Yeah.
We're a punchline for Nut Job 2.
Oh, my God, the Nut Job. We're going to make a porn parody, and we're going to bring it to you guys, hopefully soon. That's
soon.
What she said.
Not soon.
In more ways than one. But I think the one movie that's going to come out, I think, gave Matt nightmares. I don't know if he's been sleeping with the light on or in the shape of a cross or whatever. But the movie is Annabelle Creation, the sequel or prequel, actually, to Annabelle Conjuring type stuff. So you saw this movie twice, Matthias, what did it do to you and your psyche?
And those that are hearing this are probably in shock, because if you've known me for any amount of time, you know I do not like horror films. I don't do scary movies. So the fact that I saw Annabelle Creation once is a shocking thing. The fact that I went back a second time is just, I don't know, it's like bizarro Jerry world around here or something. But no, this is I saw it the first time because I had to do an interview, which we're going to play later in the show, with the writer, Gary Dauberman. But then I saw it. I had promised my 17-year-old Katie and her friend. They love horror films, so I always promise to take them to the screenings. So then I had to go back to the press screening to take them with me to see it again. So that's why I ended up seeing it the second time. The first time, it was terrifying. The first time I watched it, it was just... it was probably one of the better, more solid, fit that Conjuring vibe more than the original Annabelle, for sure. And then when I went back and saw it the second time, though, I was still terrified. It was still just as scary. So
yeah, I've been hearing awesome things. That it's actually scary. It's well thought out. It's a good story, good performances, and actually a horror movie they got right, which I think the people that done The Conjuring, Conjuring 2, and the last Annabelle actually doing well. But they say this prequel is actually damn good and really scary.
Yeah, it was. It really fit the Conjuring brand so much. There's little items in there that just solidify it into the Conjuring world and that franchise. The first Annabelle movie was bad. I mean, it wasn't the worst movie ever, but there was nothing really scary about it. It didn't really fit. It felt out of place. They learned a lot from that one, came back with this one, and really just made a top-notch ghost story with this creepy doll set in the 1940s, an old farmhouse. It's just, it has all the elements that come together. It's produced well, directed great. So if you love horror films, this has to be on your list. Now, the only thing that could hurt it at the box office is that it's rated R. So all your 15, 16-year-olds that like to go out and have a scary night out, they can't go. So that might hurt the box office a little bit. And it's only rated R for terrifying imagery and the fact that it'll scare your pants off. There's no language. There's no language in it. Obviously, no sex, no nudity. No, it's just all terrifying imagery and just edge of your seat stuff. So it gets an R rating for that. So that might hinder it a little bit. But did you send somebody to see it for your site?
No, I did not. But I've heard. I just heard through the grapevine that it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It you know, if you like horror films, it's one of those. I put on there. After I left the screening, we have to give comments, and I said that it was a destined classic. It's one of those that just feels timeless. You could watch it 10 years from now, and there's nothing in it that would seem out of place because it's set in the 40s. It doesn't lock it into this generation. So years from now, you could watch it, and it would still feel very classic. So they paid a lot of attention. In fact, the interview in the next segment we're going to do with Gary Dauberman, he talks about the painstaking links they went to make sure that it felt genuine to the time. So they spent a lot of time on it, so it was good. So the only thing that I think that could beat it is The Glass Castle, which we talked a little bit about last week with the interview with Jeanette Walls, but you hadn't read the book, or this is not on your radar, I guess?
No, I don't care.
But man, her memoir is so, I mean, you read it and you're just riveted. It's just what she went through and then overcame to become this great journalist and blogger.
Oh, good. Yeah. Fantastic.
Everybody's got a story. Everybody got something.
Everybody's got a story.
Boo-hoo, you didn't have food as a child. Boo-hoo.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I walked uphill both ways without shoes. Oh, wah. Give me Annabelle creation.
That's awesome. So anyway, for those of you who are not that jaded, The Glass Castle is a really good film. And they're already talking about Oscar nods for Woody Harrelson, who plays Jeanette Walls' dad in this. And it's, you know, it's more about him being, you know, he's this alcoholic father with these big dreams, and just, it's just so much dysfunction in this family and all the stuff that she has to overcome. But Woody Harrelson is amazing in The Glass Castle and probably will get an Oscar nomination.
When is he not amazing? He was amazing in War for the Planet of the Apes and pretty much everything else he's in.
What was it? Not... I can't want to say Zootopia. What was the zombie movie?
Zombieland?
Zombieland. What was that Zombieland movie? Zombieland?
Oh, The Glass Castle sounds like an amazing summer blockbuster.
Be quiet. Now, this is one of your really, and like you can go to your indie art house films. I mean, anybody who's read the book, I mean, it's been on the bestseller list for over a decade. People know this book, they're going to flock to see it. So it's going to do well because her story is so great. And then you have, you know, even Brie Larson is in this as the, you know, she plays Jeanette Walls. And it's just well written and directed. And so I think it's going to be one that does well. And we'll be hearing about it around Oscar season. But two different sides of the coin with Annabelle Creation and The Glass Castle. And then, of course.
Is The Glass Castle a sequel to The Last Castle?
You asked me that last Robert week. Redfield? Yeah, you said that last week. I don't even know what The Last Castle is.
Oh, my God. It's an amazing film that stars James Gandolfini and Robert Redford.
When did it come out?
Like 2001?
Nothing good came out in 2001.
Next show, we're going to go through 2001 movies, and you will see how
many. Make a note of that now. We don't want to forget. Next week, we're going to break down the movies of 2001, and you're going to see that there was nothing came out in 2001 that you've watched a second time. For the entire year of 2001, I guarantee you, you've not watched one single movie a second time.
Well, I will. Let's put a bet on it. I will come to the studio naked.
No, that's not a win for anybody.
That's a win for me.
It's a win for you. If you win, you get to come to the studio naked. If I win, you don't get to come to the studio naked. No, maybe a little friendly lunch, little drinks on the patio or something. We'll figure out something. But 2001, next week, kids, we're going to break it down. And you can even do research on your own as you're listening to this, and then you'll see that Matt Mungall is a genius. I don't even know what came out in 2001. That's how bad it was. We're going to take another small break, come back, have our interview with Gary Dauberman as he talks about writing Annabelle. Plus, he had a hand in writing It, which comes out later this year. And then we're going to do some Blu-ray news and DVDs and some wrestling talk and all that good stuff right here on the show.
This is The Mungall Show.
Oh, welcome back. Well, as we mentioned, Annabelle Creation comes out this week. Gary Dauberman is the screenwriter. He wrote the original Annabelle and wrote this one and is co-writing It, which comes out later this year. So he just loves to scare us, obviously. So I had a chance to sit down and talk to him. So we're going to hear that interview now with Gary Dauberman and be back with more after that.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Good. I was doing okay until I saw Annabelle Creation and it scared the crap out of me.
When did you see it?
I saw it last week, late last week. And then I actually am going back tonight for the critic screening.
Cool.
Yeah, because I want to take I promised my 17-year-old daughter and her friend, they've been wanting to see this ever since the trailer came out. So I'm taking them back tonight to the critic screening. So I'm gonna live through it again.
Well, I hope they like.
You know what they will, and that's your target audience, I think, is them. And I have to ask you, this was a question I was going to ask it later, but now that we're talking about that, are audiences, especially older teenagers, are they getting harder to scare?
Are they getting harder to scare? Man, that is a good question. You know, it's funny. I don't think so, because I sit there and I watch during these screenings and stuff and I go, well, you know, okay, well, here comes the creaky door. Here comes the phantom footsteps. Here comes the kids laughing. And, you know, sometimes that stuff can be just that, where it's a creaky door and phantom footsteps and kids laughing and going, okay, well, I've been there and done that. But when you have a director like Sandberg or, you know, James Wan or somebody, you know, they, it's all about execution. So a lot of these, you know, some of these scares might be tried and true and we've seen them 1,000 times before, but if you have someone who really knows how to milk these things and really draw it out, I think, you know, then that stuff that you've seen before suddenly becomes, you get on edge of your seat, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. So I don't know. I don't know if it's harder. I think it's always been tough. I think it just takes the right kind of director to sort of, you know, play the right tune in order for the people to respond, you know?
Yeah, and this one did respond, because even at the first word of mouth screening I went to, everybody walked out there saying the same thing, that it elevated the scares. Everybody walked out there truly terrified, and I think that not only because it has that Annabelle Conjuring brand to it, but it lives in that Conjuring world, but you created some very unique elements that fits the brand. There were some genuine scares there. I mean, you already have Annabelle, who's a great foundation to build off of for scares.
Yeah.
What were some other elements that you tried to bring in? Maybe it was the girls, maybe the farmhouse, to try to even elevate that and build off the Annabelle brand.
Well, a lot of it was building off the characters. And by characters, I Annabelle the doll is itself, you know, she is a character. The house is its own kind of character. That sparse desert is sort of deserty, sort of barren landscape is its own kind of character. I do a lot of sort of research into the time period, kind of, you know, from a historical point of view to see what's going on in the world, which could have played into sort of her, Janice being afflicted with polio and stuff, but just, you know, what's a radio like? What's playing on the radio at the time? Like, what's the top hit? You Are My Sunshine. It was like the top hit of 42. You know, these types of things. And then I go, what can we use? What toys were there back then? You know, stuff like that that we can really sort of start to build off of and think about, like, okay, well, would this be a cool, how can we build this into a scare, you know, these cool Punch and Judy puppets, or, you know, the dollhouse, I think was a big one for me. So yeah, you start to look into, you know, and then you start thinking about the characters and then what their scares are, and you try to give them each their sort of own unique sort of scare.
And speaking of You Are My Sunshine, I probably will not be able to hear that song again.
That's one of those things I got. I was writing this and my wife was singing to our daughter, who was, maybe 2 at the time. And she sang it to, you know, she just, you know, I would hear the lullaby in the other room. And, you know, so I'll always think of that first. But then I sort of was like, oh, that could be kind of creepy using in the movie. That's where I got that one from.
Yeah.
It sort of just worked out that it actually was 42.
Yeah. Now, once you get everything written the way you want it, are you still a hands-on person in the film, or do you turn it over to producer James and the director and let them just do what they do best? Or do you still like to kind of massage things as the shooting goes?
You know, I kind of take my cues from the director and James and all that stuff. I like to be as hands-on as I can, but I also don't want to, you know, it's a dance. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But you know, fortunately, James is so collaborative, and he sort of set the tone when he did The Conjuring for this universe of how things are going to happen. And New Line has gone above and beyond in terms of trying to make sure that everybody remains involved, because, you know, film is a very collaborative process. That said, the director is the director, and you know, you can kind of get a sense when, oh, okay, they know what they, you know, David, he's got an idea what he wants to do here, and man, is it great. So I'm going to step back. But then sometimes they will be like, hey man, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of that? And, you know, then you offer your opinion. So, you know, I like to remain as involved as I can. And fortunately, everybody I've worked with, you know, they love having me on set and being there and giving my opinions and all that.
And that's an interview with Gary Dauberman. Remember that Annabelle Creation comes out this weekend, August 11th. Tell you what, we're going to take another small break, come back and talk Blu-rays and DVD, plus some wrestling and tech talk news later on right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm just just happy about this Annabelle and horror film thing. And now I'm like, my mind is like running at 1,000 miles an hour with this 2001 movies that I cannot wait to prove Matt wrong. But that will be for next week. We always thank and love our listeners for listening to us. But as you know, we love to talk about film in the theaters, but we also love to talk about film and movies at home because, you know, more people now are watching movies at home because things are coming out literally like a month later at home. And they're making TVs that are like under $1,000 that are like cinema quality and 4K. And it's amazing. What do you think?
You know, it's funny you mention all of that because to me, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy released 1st of May and it's coming out later in August. It seems like Alien Covenant just came out and it's not, does it, are they releasing earlier or are some studios still taking 8 to 10 months and some just, I mean, what drives that, I wonder? What, who decides, let's release it now?
Well, I mean, it just depends, you know. For big summer movies that came out earlier in the summer, I would imagine people would want to spend money getting it out, you know, as soon as possible when it's fresh on their mind, really. And they have, you know, everything already done. So why not just keep that train rolling? Because Guardians of the Galaxy most likely is still making, you know, a little bit of money at the box office, you know, in dollar theaters probably. But now they're just, now it's like the digital copy is coming out. You know, it's already out basically. Mm-hmm. And now 2 weeks later, you'll get the 4K and the Blu-ray. But I think with Blu-rays, I think sometimes you get like an 8 or 10 month lull. And then sometimes it's like, oh, then this isn't this already still out in the theaters? Because I feel like we just saw Alien Covenant, and Alien Covenant's one of the big releases of August 15th, this coming week. And I feel like we just saw that literally 6 weeks ago.
Right, because it was it June or was it late May? It was, I think it was it May or was it June?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I don't know.
I'm going to look it up while you tell them what else is coming out. I'm going to look it up.
Well, tons of stuff is coming out. Alien Covenant's one of them. There's tons of different versions. You get a steelbook, you can get like Best Buy exclusives, Walmart exclusives, Target exclusives. It comes with tons of extras. There's a 4K version of it, and also they're releasing another Alien collection with all six films in it. So if you don't already own the Alien quadrilogy or the five films or six films, whatever, you're going to be able to do that as well. Another good movie that's coming out, which you might have not seen in a very long time, but it's coming out from our good friends at Twilight Time. This movie came out, oh my God, 20 years ago. It starred Joe Pesci. It is a little movie called 8 Heads in a Duffel Bag. Highly recommended.
I remember that movie.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's finally getting a Blu-ray release on Twilight Time, which is kind of like the lesser version of Criterion. But usually with Twilight Times, they only make 3,000 copies, and then it's gone forever. That's why they're so expensive. And you usually have to get them off of Twilight Times' website. Other things, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly 50th Anniversary Edition from Kino. Oh, my goodness. 50 years. Matt, you were 20 back then?
I'm trying to remember. Almost, yeah.
Oh, almost.
Let's just say my parents could have got that as at their baby shower. They could have that as a gift at their baby shower.
True. If you're a big fan of Once Upon a Time, the TV series, the sixth season will be out on a Blu-ray, if anybody's still watching that. DC's Legends of Tomorrow, the complete second season from Warner Brothers releases, as well as a little movie that came out earlier this year called Chuck, stars Liev Schreiber, Naomi Watts, Elizabeth Moss, Ron Perlman, and Jim Gaffigan. Oh, my goodness. So if you like those guys, it's probably a movie you have not heard of. But it's a boxing movie. So be sure to check that out. And as well as 4K, I mean, the big one of the day is definitely Alien Covenant. But also, if you like Matthew McConaughey sitting on a car, The Lincoln Lawyer.
Which, again, why that is re-released in 4K, I have no idea. Why?
Yeah, it's a weird... It's like, it's very strange to have, like, out of all the catalog releases, they're like, oh my God, let's release The Lincoln Lawyer. And you're like, what?
I don't get it. I just totally don't get it. But somebody somebody knows what's going on, I guess.
What else? Is there anything else that people should be excited for, Matt, with Blu-ray or 4K?
Not necessarily Blu-ray or 4K, but if let's say you still just simply watch movies at home. How to Be a Latin Lover comes out this week. It's so funny. It's got Eugenio Derbez in it. It's such a heartwarming movie about this Latin lover guy who gets jilted by his sugar mama when he's in his 40s and is trying to, he's just been pampered his whole life. And so it's really funny. And he connects with his nephew, and it's a sweet little PG-13 movie called How to Be a Latin Lover. And you can hear my interview with Derbez at mongolshow.com. So that's out on DVD. Hickok, which is a Western. We don't get very many Westerns releasing, but Hickok comes out this week. So if you're in the Western mode, that's a good choice. Descendants 2 is out. So,
I have to mention something from Lionsgate. There's a movie coming out that comes out on Blu-ray this coming week called The Wall.
Yes,
is directed by Doug Liman, who directed the Swingers, like from Blanco with John Favreau and what's his name, Vince Vaughn. Doug Liman directed this, and it stars Aaron Taylor Johnson, you know, Kick-Ass from Kick-Ass, and John Cena. It's a war movie called The Wall. It's not the the Great Wall, but it's about two soldiers pinned down by an Iraqi sniper.
There you go. And speaking of Lionsgate, one movie that I was really excited about comes out on DVD. I don't even think it's on Blu-ray or anything. It was a Lifetime movie called Britney Ever After. Experiences Britney Spears' rise to fame from Mouseketeer, sold-out performances in Vegas. All these Britney fans, Britney will always have a place in people's hearts. So if you're a huge Britney fan, if you've owned everything about her, then Britney Ever After from Lionsgate, the Lifetime movie, now out on DVD. Well, August 15th is when it releases. So it's got, you know, characters of just Justin Timberlake, NSYNC, Kevin Federline, all this stuff that's Britney iconic is in this. So you have to check it out.
Nobody likes Britney Spears.
Everybody loves Britney Spears. You can do what you don't be hating on Britney. Britney, you can say what you will. She's an icon. She is the female Michael Jackson. She is just amazing.
What? You are insane. She is an insane, crazy woman who cannot have custody of her kids.
I've never
kids went custody to Federline.
Wow, I've always heard the expression smoke coming out of your ears. I never witnessed it until this very moment. Smoke literally came out of Brian's ears.
Oh my God.
She had a tough life, and people need to show her some love. And you can't. There's no better way to show her love than picking up Britney Ever After on DVD. That's
right,
my girl.
Right.
Don't be talking about
my
girl.
Don't get me started.
All right. Well, I won't because the segment's over. So anyway, we'll take a small break. Come back with some wrestling news and tech talk. All right, here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show.
Okay.
So Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Always check us out. You can check me out at mungleshow.com. Brian's at boomstickcomics.com, plus High Def Digest for all of his tech stuff. I mean, this guy knows backwards and forwards. He's forgotten more about technical stuff than I'll ever know. So if you want to get some great insight on home entertainment, what fits your budget, all that, check him out. And
we can get technical.
And speaking of tech, before the show started, you and I had this discussion because Guardians of the Galaxy 2 now out on digital, and I talked about how sometimes I like watching special features, but I can't find them on the digital version because I use Vudu for all of my digital stuff. And Ryan's like, well, did you ever just click over there and just watch them in the specials tab? And I didn't know until this very day. That in Vudu, when you go to the movie to watch it, there's the right beside the overview tab is Vudu Extras.
Matt's an old man with old nut jobs.
In my defense, every time I saw that tab that said Vudu Extras, I literally thought it was extras about the Vudu site. Like, if you wanted to know more about Vudu, or if you wanted to do something in Vudu, because, you know, I thought maybe it was extras about them. So I was like, I don't want to watch any Vudu extras.
Yeah, so a lot of this has changed, of course, over the years, but used to, when you download something, you only get the movie, but a lot of people, you know, express they want more, and now we get movies that have literally like the Blu-ray on your streaming service, whether it be iTunes or Vudu or Flixster. When you usually click on the movie, you'll have the option to actually watch any of the extras, scene selections, audio options, all that good stuff. And if you're on Vudu, Vudu has the Dolby Vision and the 4K option. So you could actually switch if you purchase the 4K version, which is usually as much as the actual 4K copy, $30. You'll get it in 4K if you have the right hookups.
Wow. See, that's the stuff I don't think people know. Because, you know, it takes a lot of people a long time to get on the digital bandwagon. I prefer, like, when I get a copy in and I load the digital, I very seldom ever go pull that disc out and put it in. Unless it's something I want to really watch clarity-wise, of course I'm going to put in the Blu-ray or the 4K disc. But if I'm at home and I just want to go back and say, hey, I haven't seen, you know, Going in Style in a couple of weeks, I want to watch that. I'm going to go into Vudu and watch my digital copy. I'm not going to go dig the case out. So digital to me is always, I just love the digital stuff. And now that I know that I can watch the extras too, you probably won't see me for several days. I'm just going to go back and watch all these extras that I didn't know I had at my fingertips.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has some awesome extras, so I think you'll enjoy those for sure.
Yeah. Now, you review a lot of movies, and home movies. I mean, I don't know how you find time, because you have to watch... Brian literally will watch, if there's three commentaries, you watch all three commentaries. Yeah. And all the behind the scenes. Is there something you look forward to in special features? Do you like commentaries more? Do you like featurettes more? Do you like the making of the design and the imagery and the makeup and the effects? Or
my favorite thing is makeup and effects. Like, I think if I had it all to do over again, I might have taken a bunch of classes or even gone to school for like visual effects, makeup effects, making movie monsters like Rick Baker or Tom Savini type stuff. Because I love watching how the monsters are being made and all the practical effects are doing, or seeing people on the makeup chair, or like how they made the blood splatter like that. I love those are the things I live for. Other than that, I love like comprehensive behind the scenes stuff with interviews and on set footage and, you know, tours and commentaries.
Now, speaking of all, I know this is off the subject a little bit, but mentioning that, do you watch Face Off on Sci-Fi? Do you watch this?
I do not. I do. I want to.
I was starting to say, as much as you love that genre and that, I don't know how you don't watch Face Off. It's so amazing. And it's like this, the sixth, seventh season?
Yeah, I know. I've heard good things. I just haven't watched it yet.
And two, their guest judge this past Tuesday night was Rick Baker. Rick Baker was their guest judge.
So. Rick Baker got his start American Werewolf in London, and then did the Werewolf in Michael Jackson's Thriller, and then went on to do just about every good thing ever. So
yeah. But I love that show. I mean, you got, you know, Glenn Hetrick on there and V. Neil, and it's just this great set of judges, and you know, it's just effects makeup from Hollywood. So you got to go back and watch it. That's your homework.
I need to.
You have to go watch Face Off.
All right, that's my homework.
All right. Well, we mentioned Annabelle Creation out this week. It's, you know, scary doll, but you said you love horror films. Do kids creep you out more than anything in a horror film?
No, actually, they don't.
They don't?
They're not my thing. I made a list of movie marathon ideas, and one of them was creepy kids in horror movies. A lot of movies do the same thing with kids. They're sitting there and they say something creepy in like a high voice, or... I mean, that can be scary, but that's not the ultimate for me. There's only like a couple of things that really scares me from movies. So, but kids, no, don't scare me. Not really.
Yeah. So who's up there in your list of creepiest kids, whether they scare you or not? If you're going to do a marathon, what's your must have in your marathon of creepy kid movies?
Oh, Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yeah. There's.
Oh my God. Reagan from The Exorcist. I would have to say Rhoda from The Bad Seed. From the year 1956, I would have to say Damien from The Omen. I would have to say, what's his name? The main kid from Children of the Corn. Oh, what's his
Malachi?
Name? Malachi. Yeah, that dude creeped me out. Gage from Pet Sematary. and I have to say, oh my gosh. So I just reviewed this, the movie The Good Son from 1993 with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Macaulay Culkin actually played, I mean, it's kind of silly because he's kind of coming off of Home Alone. That movie had tons of problems, but Macaulay Culkin actually kind of did an okay job of being a very evil kid with no real motive. The Grudge and The Ring doesn't really creep me out. Like, that stuff just doesn't creep me out.
Hmm. Well, on a future show, we're going to find out what exactly creeps Brian out. But before, we got to take a break. Then we'll come back and talk some wrestling news. Maybe he'll give us a hint of what creeps him out. But we need to take a small break, come back with some closing thoughts, wrestling, maybe talk a little bit more about creepy kids, all right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show.
Welcome back. Brian Kluger, Matt Mungle, talking about creepy kids trying to scare Matt. Yeah, what's really, really scares me is like supernatural Ouija board demon type of stuff. Like, and I can give examples next week for that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, because and I'm with you there, man. Those are the movies I try to stay away from. I mean, like Friday the 13th, Halloween, that stuff doesn't scare me at all. But yeah, get into what you're talking about.
Well, when you say Halloween, Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th had a creepy kid, Jason, came out of the water in the first film. And then in Halloween, you have the little kid,
Mike Myers
who's just killing people for no reason.
Killing people for no reason? What was that kid's wrong with him?
Yeah.
That's bad parenting.
So, yeah, yeah. So, it's crazy, crazy.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at both of those movies, it all goes back to bad parenting. I don't know. So, what's going on in the world of wrestling?
Oh, my goodness. So, pretty much a week from today, or a week from Sunday, if you're listening to this, one of the biggest pay-per-views in WWE is SummerSlam. It is finally going to happen this year. SummerSlam 2017, August 20th in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. It is crazy. It's going to be insane. There is going to be a huge, big, giant match between The Big Show versus Big Cass. Big Show versus Big Cass.
How old is that dude now?
Big Show. Oh, man, how old is Big Show? Big Show's been around a long time. Big Show, oh, God, he's 45, I think. But they're both over 7 foot tall. They both weigh over 400 pounds. They're going to have a match together. And suspended in a shark cage above the ring is going to be little Enzo Amore during this match. It's going to be hilarious and fun. Also, you have the New Day versus the Usos for a tag team match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. It's going to be awesome. Randy Orton versus Rusev, AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, with Shane McMahon as a special guest referee for the United States Championship. Also, Alexa Bliss was going to fight Bayley, but Bayley actually injured her shoulder on a previous episode of Raw, so she's out. So coming this week on Raw, Monday Night Raw, Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. Whoever wins that match will go on to SummerSlam for the Raw Women's Championship against
Alexa
Bliss.
I smell a rat. Yeah, that Bailey didn't hurt herself.
No, she legit. No,
I bet Sasha whined and cried and just played all these "I'm gonna quit" cards, and I don't want blah blah blah. And then Bailey's like, "Fine, go ahead and wrestle, you little baby."
No, not gonna happen. It's gonna be Sasha Banks because Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax are basically both heels, so it would make sense for Sasha to win. And then, hopefully if Sasha wins, then, hopefully Bayley will come back and Sasha will turn evil or vice versa. It'll be awesome. John Cena versus Baron Corbin, which will be awesome. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. This is basically kind of like a horror demon versus demon match. And then you have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman for the Fatal 4-Way main event for the Universal Championship if Brock Lesnar loses, he is leaving WWE, which makes sense because he has been getting back into UFC fighting ability because he wants to go back to UFC. So it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense. And then Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. Interesting.
And when does all this take place? When is this match?
August 20th.
Where?
Sunday, August 20th. Brooklyn, New York.
Are you going? Barclays Center.
No, I unfortunately am not going to.
Are you
going to
have a pay-per-view party?
I'm thinking about it. Did me talking about this get you excited for this?
It does. I don't know what it is. I can't stand wrestling. Do you start talking about it? And I'm like, oh, that just sounds like, I just want to, because it's like, I want to watch these people wrestle. It's like, there's so much at stake.
It's one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year next to WrestleMania and perhaps the Royal Rumble. But yeah, SummerSlam's the big one. So it'll be good.
We need to work on something. All right, cool. Yeah, that's good wrestling news. Again, Annabelle Creation out this week. The Glass Castle. Check all of those out. Blu-rays, all that for you. Check out Brian Kluger at BoomstickComics.com plus High Def Digest. And, of course, you can find me over at MongolShow.com. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us every week. And we'll be back to do it again next time.